Major McGorkus reporting for duty.
Dorcas duty. The bestest duty of all. Gotta start with those vocal warm-ups I do every single time. Hey guys, what's up? It's your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back for another amazing, fantastic, Drunken Dangerous. And I'm here, ready to read more of these fantastic, wonderful, always cheerful Grimm's fairy tales. I don't feel like ranting today. I just want to jump straight into the magic. Don't you? Yeah, you fucking do. You don't have a goddamn choice. Much like 2020, once you hopped aboard this roller coaster, it didn't stop. But unlike 2020, you can easily just like pause and come back, you know? So, but like don't, because it's still going to be bad when it continues. It's not going to get any better. Maybe 2020 will, though. Who knows? And from the last story that involved the murder of a dog, the slaughter of a bunch of horses, the murder of a man, that extremely violent story, I have to hope that the next one is somewhat more cheerful. Simply because, you know, maybe it's going to be like the Saw movies where they just try to make the torture worse and worse for each movie. So you're like, surely they can't get anything more disgusting than that. And then they just up it the next time and you're like, nope, you're right. That's also pretty fucking gross. Congratulations. Maybe it's just like that, you know, with Grimm's fairy tales. You're like, well, you're right. I didn't expect there'd be leeches up the urethra this time. You got me, Grimm. Well played. That's some good psychological horror there. You know, so maybe. Let's find out. Odds 50-50. I mean, really. You never know. He might just give us a nice one to just set us up for that kind of sense of false hope. You know, the security that everything's going to be okay. Nobody was massacred this time. No one burned to death. No one had to eat a child. Nobody was murdered by their step-parent. Let's see. Hopefully it's a little better. And the title seems... like it could be good. I don't want to get my hopes up. Ooh, knock on wood. I don't want to jinx it. I'm not superstitious, but fucking still, right? Prince Swan. There was once a maiden all alone in the middle of a large forest. Aren't they fucking always? Suddenly, a swan came flying up to her. It had a ball of yarn and said, I'm not a swan. I'm an enchanted prince. And if you unravel the yarn to which I'm attached, then I'll be released from a spell. How are you attached to that yarn? Is it an umbilical cord? Is it growing out of your body? Or is it like by a paperclip? A staple? I'm really curious about this. How can you not do it yourself? You can talk. But okay. But take care that you don't break it in two. Otherwise, I won't be able to return to my kingdom and won't be saved. If you unravel the yarn, you'll become my bride. The maiden took the yarn, and the swan climbed into the sky, like a kite. The maiden unraveled the yarn easily, and she unraveled and unraveled the entire day. Jesus fuck! Okay. Question. Very important question. When she came up to this fucking swan, was it like a yard away with all this fucking yarn that was tangled around it? So were they shouting from like a football field's fucking length away? Or is this swan like pulling yarn out of itself like fucking scarves out of a sleeve, you know? Is this what's going on? Is this just some weird, endless, yarn-filled bird? I'm very concerned. I just feel like, at what point do you stop pulling? Like, by hour three, honestly, I'm giving up. Sorry, my arms fucking hurt. I didn't sign up for this shit. Can I just, like, wait? And I can't do it. Can I hire someone else to do it? That's too much fucking work. I don't need an enchanted. That's too much. No, I'm sorry. There's a ton of people out there that aren't enchanted swans. So I'm going to go hang out with one of them. No offense. I'm sure you'll find a very diligent, strong-armed person to unravel you one day. She unraveled the entire day so that at the end of the yarn could already be seen. However, just then it unfortunately became caught on a thorn bush and broke in two. What the fuck? Where did this thorn bush appear? She was doing this all fucking day. How was everything in sight not covered in yarn already? Legitimately? I honestly blame that fucking swan. You were still moving. Move away from the thorn bush. You clearly wanted this to happen. I'm fucking tired of their bullshit. The maiden was very distressed and wept. Since it was turning night and the wind was blowing so loudly in the forest, she became afraid and began to run as fast as she could. So if that's like me, that's like a semi-trot, you know, a fast walk. Look, I had a big meal, okay? I get cramps. I'm not going any faster than this. If there's a zombie apocalypse, I'm gonna die anyway, so why bother training for it? Oh my god, I think that's my cat's motto in life, Chungus. Jesus Christ, she's a little meatball. She's so cute, though. Poor little fat thing. Okay, let's see. Yeah, so she broke that shit. Good job. Because fucking swan ran into a thorn bush. Fucking asshole. She became afraid and began to run as fast as she could. And as she was running, she saw a small light and rushed toward it. There she found a house and knocked on the door. A little old woman came out and was astounded to see a maiden standing before her door.
"Oh, my child," she said. "Where are you coming from so late in the night?"
"Please, may I have a place to sleep for the night and also some food?" "Okay, needy bitch," she asked. "I've lost my way in the forest."
"This is a difficult situation,"
the old woman replied.
"I'll gladly give you what you want, but my husband is a cannibal."
"What the fuck? Your husband's a cannibal? What the fuck? Your husband's a cannibal? What the fuck?
Well, this is awkward. You're a nice young lady, but my husband fucking eats young ladies."
Like, what the fuck is this awkward? No, horrifying. That is a vast downplaying of the situation, madam. Jesus Christ. Spinach in your teeth is awkward. Your husband eating your neighbors is a slightly more than awkward. Maybe in this lady's life, that's just an awkward Tuesday, but... Okay, so anyway, the husband's cannibal. What the fuck? I think this is an intermission time. I still, Oh my god. You know, for a second there, I almost thought we were going to get one of those nice stories. But instead, Grimm pulled the classic. Seems like it's nice in the beginning. Everyone dies in one sentence type of changes. I always quite enjoy his M. Night Shyamalan fuck yous. Don't you? It's quite a... bit of zest in my day. Thanks, Grimm. All right, let's continue where I left off with the old woman's cannibal husband. I suppose back in the day you got married for life, so even if you found him eating people, you're like, oh, but I promised God. Okay, so let's see.
I'll gladly give you what you want, but my husband is a cannibal. If he finds you, he'll eat you. There's no mercy. But if you remain outside, the wild animals will eat you. So I'll see if I can help you get through this.
The old woman let her enter, gave her some food to eat, and then hid her beneath the bed. The cannibal always came home before midnight, right after the sun had fully set, and left right before sunrise. Does he have a name? His name, like, Joe, or is he just the cannibal? That's gotta be awkward after so many years of marriage. You'd be like, oh, hello, the cannibal. Like, can I know your name today? Like, what the fuck? Do you have a name? Your name's not the cannibal. Is it even Hannibal? Can we call him Hannibal if he's not given a name? He's just the cannibal? That's kind of shitty. You know? That's like, yeah, I have a name, Joan. What the fuck? It's not just the cannibal. I swear, you eat one human. That's all they call you. It's not fair anymore. You know, it's like you yell at, just talk to a manager one time, you're Karen forever. Oh, God. The cannibal always came home before midnight. Blah, 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 whoever the fuck the cannibal is. So it wasn't long before he entered and said, I smell human flesh. And he searched around the room and he reached under the bed and dragged the maiden out.
Now this will make for a good snack.
But the old woman pleaded and pleaded for the maiden's life until he promised to let her live overnight and eat her for his breakfast. Okay, nice compromise, thanks. However, the old woman woke the maiden before sunrise.
Hurry and get away before my husband awakes. Here's a golden spinning wheel for you as a gift you're to cherish. My name is Sun.
Wait a minute. Like, she's giving you a gift, too? That's some weird shit. Like, no offense, but I don't think I want some kind of bribery hush money from the cannibal's wife, because she's married to this dude. And the first thing he does is cannibalize people as soon as he smells them. Like, I don't think he changed that much after they got married. She willingly married this dude, right? Like, this bitch has got some fucking issues. I don't want whatever shit she's gonna give me. Maybe she's gonna turn me into a steak or something. Maybe this is the weird kinky sex game. I don't know. I don't want any part of this. God damn. Some weird shit. It's fucking weird. The maiden went away, and in the evening she came to another house. And the same thing happened there that happened the previous night. Why? Why? Okay, that's common now. Okay. At her departure, the second old woman gave her a golden spindle and said,
My name is Moon.
On the third evening, she came to a third house where the old woman gave her a golden reel and said,
My name is Star.
And also... She had a terrible voice. And she also informed her that even though... I'm sorry. I'm having a bit of a moment. The best stories are the ones you tell yourself. And she also informed her that even though the yarn hadn't been completely unraveled... Enough had been unraveled so that Prince Swan had been able to reach his kingdom where he was the king. In fact, he was already married and lived in great splendor on the Glass Mountain. Then she said,
You'll reach the mountain this evening, but a dragon and a lion are lying in wait and I'm protecting it. That's why you must take this bread and bacon to pacify them.
Okay, I'm sorry, bread and bacon? Okay, demented old bitch. What the fuck? Did you get her from the home? What is this? No. Bread and bacon? Bread and bacon, really? Bread and bacon to stop a dragon and a lion. No. Just no. No. Which one gets the bread? I don't understand. The dragons like bread, or did this lion suddenly have a taste for, like, just really wants some avocado toast? Wants to have a taste of the high life? Wants to be a little healthier? I don't fucking understand, you old bitch. Tell me a better give me a better answer. Maybe it's just because I'm a stupid American, but give me a gun. Give me a gun to shoot them. I feel better about that. But fine, bread and bacon it is. It sounds like a beginning of a BLT. Can I get some lettuce and tomato too? I also enjoy a good sandwich. And everything happened just as she said. Of course, why wouldn't it? The maiden threw the bread and bacon into the jaws of the monsters, and they let her pass. Why? How convenient. How fucking convenient. How very nice that they were pacified that fucking easily. You know, any enemy I have in any story I do from now on, bread and bacon, that's it. I'm gonna bring them some fucking crock pot full of chili, and they're just gonna solve their problems over food. Well, it's a good ending to every goddamn story. So dumb. When she came to the castle gate, however, the guards wouldn't let her enter. Damn, she needed more bread and bacon. So she sat down in front of the gate and began to spin on her little golden wheel. The queen peered down from above and was pleased by the beautiful little wheel. So she went down and asked if she could have it. Wow, bitch. Okay, no. Rude. Fucking hoe. Like, you already have a goddamn kingdom. Jesus, now you're stealing from the poor even more? Thanks. Relatable. Except, you know, they don't usually ask. The maiden told her that she could have it if she could spend the night next to the king's bedroom. The queen agreed, and the maiden was led upstairs to a room. Now everything that was spoken in this room could be heard in the king's bedroom. Come on. They honestly, like, didn't have thicker walls back then? Like, how did they exchange top-secret information? It was just echoey as fuck, and everyone in the kingdom could hear it? Okay. Let me see. Okay. So when it was night and the king was in his bed, the maiden sang. Oh, God. This is painful. Doesn't King Swan still think of me? His faith... Oh, come on, I'm not saying this anymore. I'm not singing this. Doesn't King Swan still think of me? His faithful Julianne, his bride-to-be. She's come from afar where she's seen all three. Sun, moon, and star, and face two beasts. Won't King Swan now wake up at least? But the king didn't hear her. Because the cunning queen had been afraid of the maiden and had given the king a sleeping potion. So he slept soundly and didn't hear the maiden and all that she had revealed. In the morning, all her efforts had been lost and the maiden had to return to the gate and sit down and spin with her second spindle, which also pleased the queen. So the maiden gave it to her with the same condition that she would be allowed to spend the night next to the king's bedroom, where she once again sang, "Doesn't King Swan still think of me? His faithful Julianne, his bride-to-be. She's come from afar where she's seen all three. Sun, moon, and star, and face two beasts. Won't King Swan now wake up at least?" But the king slept soundly due to the sleeping potion, and so the maiden lost her spindle. On the third morning, she sat down with the golden reel and kept winding it. The queen wanted this precious object as well and promised the maiden she could spend another night next to the king's bedroom. However, the maiden had discovered the queen's deception and asked the king's servant to give the king something else to drink that evening. Then she began to sing again, and I'm just gonna not sing it because we've already heard it twice. Well, the king awoke when he heard her voice, and he recognized her and asked the queen, "If someone loses a key and then finds it again, which key does one keep? The old or the new?" The queen replied, "Certainly the old one." "Well then," he said, "you can no longer be my wife." Wow, fucked up, man. You basically ask her a question that makes her feel responsible for her own dumping, which you were going to do anyway? Fucking cruel. Good God, man. You couldn't just cut her loose? You also had to play a fucking mind game with her? Jesus. No wonder someone turned this asshole into a swan. He's a dick. My God. I found my first bride again. The next morning, the queen had to return to her father's realm. The king married his true bride, and they lived happily together until they died. Hopefully soon, fucking dickbags. Well, honestly, kind of disappointed not enough people were cannibalized. Don't honestly understand why cannibals were even involved. I could have just left that part entirely out. This was a double fake out by Grimm. Well played, you sick son of a bitch. Okay, let's read another one. Shall we? Yes, we shall. This one is called, wait for it, The Anticipation. The Golden Egg. Hold for applause. I'm just joking. Sorry. This one's going to be great. I can feel it in my bones. Once upon a time, there were a couple of poor broom makers. That's a job? Couple of poor broom makers. You know, I feel like back in the day, you could have a job that was way more specific than we do nowadays. You know what I mean? Like, now mostly your jobs have to be much more like jack of all trades. But back then, you're just like, I'm a broom maker. Now things are much more automated. But it's just kind of funny to hear, like, that would be your whole fucking job. It's kind of weird, right? But to be perfectly honest, in a way, wouldn't that kind of be relaxing? Like, that's all you have to do. I mean, I'm sure it sucks ass because they just said they're poor, so they're probably, like, eating bugs to survive. So fuck me, whatever I'm saying. But in a way, that kind of mindless drudgery, boring work can, at least for me sometimes, be kind of soothing, you know? Because your brain just kind of goes in, like, autopilot mode. But, you know, it's not going to accidentally crash into, like, a person because it doesn't see it or something. So it's pretty safe. Probably. Maybe you could kill somebody by not paying attention to broom making. I don't know. Let's find out. If it could happen, it's probably going to happen in this story. Once upon a time, there were a couple of poor broom makers. I'm already fucking it up. Good job, me. And they had a little sister to support. Ooh. Can't imagine you make a lot making brooms. They had just barely enough to lead a miserable life. Okay, I take it back. I don't want to be a broom maker. They had just enough for a miserable life? Damn. It can't even spring for a slightly less than miserable life? Shit. Like, I have had times where, like, times were tough. And I mean tough as hell. And I wouldn't still not have been like, what a miserable life I lead. Maybe because I wasn't a broom maker back in these days when, like, you're wading through sewage just to get to work making a fucking broom to sell for 5 cents and trying not to die at 25 of cholera or something. You know, now that I say it, I can see it. I can kind of see why that'd be miserable. Okay, I take it back. Modern day privilege. You know? Oh, fucking, I lost my place already. It's the old age, I'm telling you. All right. Okay. Every day, they had to go into the forest to search for brushwood. And later, after they bound the brooms, the little sister sold them. One time, they went into the forest, and the youngest brother climbed a birch tree. I saw it as bitch tree. I'm like, not a thing. Climbed a birch tree and wanted to chop off the branches. All of a sudden, he found a nest, and a dark-colored little bird was sitting in it. He could see something glittering between its feathers, and since the little bird didn't fly away and was also not shy, he lifted the bird's wing and found a golden egg. Okay, can we just stop to say, that little bird is the cutest thing ever? Like, it's not shy, and it lets you lift its wing. Fucking treasure that little thing and keep it safe. Do not fuck with that bird. That thing's fucking adorable. I don't, you know how I feel about birds, but like that? No, I'm sorry. I have a soft spot. That's adorable. I will fucking fight you. That is adorable. Unless it secretly got, like, poison spray or something. You know, grim. So we took it and climbed down the tree. They were delighted by their discovery and brought it to the goldsmith, who told them it was genuine gold and gave them money for it. How much money? Just money. The next morning, they went into the forest again and found another golden egg. The little bird was patient and let them take it just like the first time. All this continued for a long time. Every morning they fetched a golden egg and were soon rich. However, one morning the bird said, "From now on, I'm not going to lay any more eggs. But bring me to the goldsmith, and you'll all be fortunate." That's what he sounds like in my head. The broom makers did what she said and brought the bird to the goldsmith. When it was alone with him, the bird sang, "Whoever eats my heart will soon be king and very smart. Whoever eats my liver, whether young or old, will find each morning a bag full of gold." Wow, that's really, bird wants to be eaten. That's, that's a fetish. Mm-hmm. When the goldsmith heard that, he called for the two young broom makers and said, "Let me have the bird, and I'll marry your little sister." The two young men said yes, and the wedding was soon held. Wow. Just marry him off quick. Then the goldsmith said, "For my wedding day, I want to eat the bird. So you two roast the bird on a steak and be careful you don't ruin it. Then bring it to me when it's done." The goldsmith intended to take out the heart and liver and eat them. The two brothers stood at the fire and turned the spit, and when they kept turning it and the bird was almost done roasting, a little piece fell out. "Hey," said one of the brothers, "I've got to try that," and he ate it up. Soon thereafter, another little piece fell out. "That's for me," said the other brother, and he tasted it. They had eaten the little heart and the little liver and had no idea how blessed they were by this. When the bird had been completely roasted, they carried it to the wedding table. The goldsmith sliced it open and wanted to eat the heart and liver as quickly as possible, but they had both vanished. All at once he became dreadfully angry and screamed, "Who ate the bird's heart and liver?" The two broom makers replied, "They must have been us. Two small pieces fell out as we were turning the spit, so we ate them." "Well, if you've eaten the heart and liver, then you can keep your sister." And in his rage, he chased them all away. Fragment. So you're not telling me the whole story? That's just it? And he was really mad, and they, okay, you can keep your sister. And he chased them away. I mean, doesn't sound so bad. Like, he got the good parts of the bird, so well done. Like, gives a shit if they marry off your sister or not. Now you're going to be rich as fuck. And, like, super smart, so they were being retarded in the first place. They just got lucky by being stupid. Because honestly, like, if he wants to eat the whole bird, you'd think you wouldn't be picking pieces out of it and eating it. We are going to read the next story. Perhaps this one will be nice. It seems like it might be a variation of the last one. Maybe it will be more than just a fragment. If it's another fragment, I swear to fucking God, I'm going to make up an ending. I'm going to make it up. This one is called "The Tailor Who Soon Became Rich." How soon? I need a mouth that works better, and I need a get-rich-quick scheme. Because honestly, a get-rich-slow scheme, like, I'm not patient or intelligent. Give me something, like, dumb it down and make it something that'll work in 60 seconds or less, or I'm not interested. I have the attention span of a goldfish. Once, during the winter, a poor tailor crossed over the field to visit his brother. Along the way, he found a frozen thrush.
"Whatever is bigger than a louse," the tailor said to himself, "that's what the tailor carries into his house."
Wait a minute, he is talking to himself in the third person. That's a choice. So he picked up the thrush and stuck it into his coat. When he reached his brother's house, he decided to look first through the window to see if they were home. All at once, he saw a fat person sitting near his sister-in-law at the table. Is that your brother, perhaps? Maybe he's gained weight during quarantine. There was a roast and a bottle of wine sitting on the table. Meanwhile, the tailor's brother was about to return home. He knocked at the door and wanted to enter. From the outside, the tailor saw how the woman quickly hid the person in a crate. Ooh, he caught her cheating. This is some fucking drama. Jerry Springer style shit. I want to fight. Holy shit. The guy was hiding in the crate. Stuck the roast into the oven and shoved the wine into the bed. Now, since his brother had entered, the tailor didn't wait any longer. He went into the house and greeted his sister-in-law and his brother. Then he sat down on the crate in which the person was hiding.
"Wife, I'm hungry. Do you have anything to eat?"
the husband asked. "No, I'm sorry. There's nothing at all in the house today." But the tailor pulled out his frozen thrush, and the brother cried out,
"My, what are you doing with that frozen thrush?
I mean, I don't think of myself as an uneducated person, but I gotta say, if someone pulls a frozen bird out of their pocket, I'm not gonna be like, 'A frozen, let me identify that species quickly? Thrush, is it?' Like, no, I'm gonna be like, 'What the fuck is wrong with you? Why do you have a dead bird in your pocket? Enjoy your diseases, what the hell? Where did you get that thing? Why is it frozen? Was that in your freezer? That can't be good for you. Don't touch it. How did it die?" So many questions. Not one of them involves identifying the bird.
"Oh my, a frozen thrush."
I guess in this world, that's just a normal thing.
"Hey, don't you know that this thrush is worth a lot of money? It can tell your future and your fortune."
"Well then, let it tell our future and our fortune." The tailor placed it next to his ear and said, "The thrush told me that there's a dish full of roast meat in the oven." The husband went to the oven and found the roast meat.
"What else did the thrush say to you?"
"There's a bottle of wine in the bed."
"My, I'd like to have this thrush. Sell it to me."
"You can have it if you give me this crate I'm sitting on." The brother wanted to give it to him right away, but his wife said, "No, I'm against it. I'm much too fond of this crate. I'm not going to give it away." However, her husband said,
"What? Are you dumb or something? What use is this old crate to you?"
So the husband gave his brother the crate for the bird, and the tailor took the crate on a wheelbarrow and began walking on a road. Is he about to murder this man? I feel like he's about to murder this man.
Okay.
Along the way, he said, "I'm going to take the crate and throw it into the water. I'm going to take the crate and throw it into the water." Okay, he is insane. Okay, he's gone a little psycho. He's lost his mind. Finally, the person began moving inside and said,
"You know what's in the crate? Let me out and I'll give you 50 gold coins.
"All right, I'll do it for that amount." Yeah, so he bribed him to not murder him. What a kind man. So we let him out and went away home with the money. And the people were puzzled as to where he had earned so much money. You mean stolen so much money. And he said, "Let me tell you, the skins of animals become very expensive. So I slaughtered my old cow and received a good deal of money in return." Since the villagers also wanted to profit from this, they went out and cut the throats of all their oxen, cows, and sheep. Wow, they're all really dumb. And carried their fur and skins to the city, where, however, they received precious little money for them because they had suddenly been so many skins and fur for sale. Well, the farmers became infuriated about their loss and threw dirt and some other rubbish at the tailor's door. Some other rubbish. Random. I like it. And just dirt's in there, too. Like, you don't have enough trash, you're just pulling up dirt now. I don't think I've ever been mad enough to pull up dirt from the ground to throw it at something. Like, never. I don't think so. Like a rock, maybe, but like dirt? That seems really ineffective. Unless you're throwing it in someone's eyes. That's just kind of a low move, though. Probably shouldn't be throwing it in people's eyes. This guy's kind of a douche, though, right? Let's see. However, he put everything into his crate, went to a tavern in the city, and asked the tavern keeper whether he might store the crate at his place for a while because it contained many valuable things, and the crate wasn't safe at his home. The tavern keeper said he'd gladly do it and let the tailor store the crate at the tavern. Some time later, the tailor returned and asked for his crate, and when he opened it to see whether everything was in it, he saw that it was full of dirt. So he threw a violent fit.
Whee!
Cursed the tavern keeper and threatened to take him to court. Wow, that's like the most sophisticated of all his responses. I did not expect threatened to take him to court. That's like... He threw a tantrum and also, I'm going to sue you. He went from throwing dirt to threatening a lawsuit. That is a pretty big leap. Okay. In response, the tavern keeper, who was concerned about his reputation and was afraid about his credit rating, what the fuck? He's afraid about his FICO score, what the hell? Willingly gave him 100 gold coins. So bribery is how he's making his riches. Fantastic. My god, that's fucked. Okay, where was I? This is so fucked up. The farmers were once again furious that everything that caused problems for the tailor had managed to turn into profit. So they took the crate and forced him inside. Then they threw the crate into the river and let it float off. Kinda had it coming. The guy kinda had it coming. The tailor kept quiet for a while until he came to the edge of an edge of land that stuck out in the river. Then he cried out very loudly, "No, I'm not going to do it. I won't do it, even if the whole world wants it to be done." A shepherd heard his shouting and asked, "What is it that you don't want to do?" "Oh," responded the tailor, "there's a king who has a foolish whim and insists that he was ever able to swim down the river in this crate is to marry his only daughter. But I've made up my mind not to do it, even if the entire world wants it." "Listen, is it possible that someone else can replace you in the crate and can get the princess?" "Oh yes, that's also possible." "Then I'll replace you." He's just lucky that he lives in a land of asshole morons with really good hearing. Ah, so the tailor stepped out of the crate and the shepherd got in. The tailor closed the crate and soon after the shepherd went down under the crate. Meanwhile, the tailor took the shepherd's entire herd of sheep and drove them home. What an asshole. The farmers wondered how he had happened to return. Moreover, they were puzzled that he now had so many sheep. So the tailor explained to them, "I had sunk into the water deep, deep down. When I got into the bottom, I found this entire herd and took the sheep back up with me." The farmers wanted to fetch some sheep as well, and they all went together to the river. What the fuck? What the fuck? The sky was completely blue on this day with small white clouds, and consequently when they looked into the water they cried out, "We already see the lambs at the bottom." So, this is a town affected by lead paint in the water, causing the developmental and mental delay of all the townspeople, as is clearly evidenced by this man's murder of the retarded population of this town. "I want to be the first one under," the mayor said. "I'll look around, and if everything's all right, I'll call you." As he dove into the river, the water rustled and murmured, plump. The others thought he was calling them out to jump, so they all jumped in one after another. In the end, the entire village belonged to the tailor, because everyone was dead. That's some fucked shit, man. That is some absolutely fucked up fucking shit. Taylor is a psychopath. Well done, Taylor. And why don't we end on a final horrible note? It will be horrible, we know. By the title alone, it's Bluebeard. Why not? Let's end with Bluebeard. Because we'll just admit our fate now. We know this. All of Grimm's fairy tales inevitably end in the Bluebeard. I will try to be more optimistic next time, but for now, I've accepted our bluebeardy fate. Let's continue into this story with open arms for the violence, shall we? Let's all be the cannibal in this day. Whatever his name was, Gary, whoever. Bluebeard. There once was a man who lived in a forest with his three sons and a beautiful daughter. One day a golden coach drawn by six horses and attended by several servants came driving up to his house. After the coach stopped, a king stepped out and asked him if he could have his daughter for his wife. The man was happy and his daughter would benefit from such a stroke of good fortune and immediately said yes. Wow, you stupid asshole. Don't do any goddamn research. There was nothing objectionable There was nothing objectionable about the suitor except for his beard, which was totally blue and made one shudder somewhat whenever one looked at it. I mean, really? Made one shudder whenever one looked at it? Okay. I mean, I don't think blue hair is that fucking shocking, but go off. It made one shudder. Oh dear, Nancy, it made one shudder. Okay, don't get your petticoat in a twist. Fucking God. Oh my God. At first, the maiden also felt frightened by it and resisted marrying him. But her father kept urging her, and finally she consented. However, her fear was so great that she first went to her brothers, took them aside, and said, "Dear brothers, if you hear me scream, leave everything standing or lying wherever you are and come to my aid." The brothers kissed her and promised to do this.
"Farewell, dear sister. If we hear your voice, we'll jump on our horses and soon be at your side."
Then she got into the coach, sat down next to Bluebeard, and drove away with him. When she reached his castle, she found everything splendid, and whatever the queen desired was fulfilled. They would have been very happy together if she'd only been able to have accustomed herself to the king's blue beard. However, whenever she saw it, she felt frightened. After some time had passed, he said to her,
"I must go on a long journey.
Here are the keys to the entire castle. You can open all the rooms and look at everything.
But I forbid you to open one particular room, which this little golden key can unlock. If you open it, you will pay for it with your life."
She took the key and promised to obey him. Yeah, fucking right. Once he had departed, she opened one door after another and saw so many treasures and magnificent things that she thought they must have Why is talking so hard? She didn't open a drawer with a new mouth for me. God damn it, you selfish whore. She thought they must have been gathered from all over the world. Soon nothing was left but the forbidden room. Since the key was made of gold, she believed that the most precious things were probably kept there. Her curiosity began to gnaw at her, and she certainly would have passed over all the other rooms if she could only have seen what was in this one. At last, her desire became so great that she took the key and went to the room. "Who can possibly see when I open it?" she said to herself. "I'll just glance inside." Then she unlocked the room, and when the door opened, a stream of blood flowed toward her, and she saw dead women hanging along all the walls, some only skeletons. Her horror was so tremendous that she immediately slammed the door, but the key popped out of the lock and fell into the blood. Swiftly, she picked it up and tried to wipe away the blood, but to no avail. When she wiped the blood away on one side, it appeared on the other. She sat down, rubbed the key throughout the day, and tried everything possible, but nothing helped. The bloodstains could not be erased. Finally, in the evening, she stuck it into some hay, which was supposed to be able to absorb blood. The following day, Bluebeard came back, and the first thing he requested was the bunch of keys. Her heart pounded as she brought the keys, and she hoped he wouldn't notice the golden one was missing. However, he counted all of them, and when he was finished, he said,
"Where's the key to the secret room?"
As he said this, he looked straight into her eyes, causing her to blush red as blood. "It's upstairs," she answered.
I misplaced it. Tomorrow I'll go and look for it.
You'd better go now, dear wife. I need it today.
Oh, I might as well tell you. I lost it in the hay. I'll have to go and search for it first.
You haven't lost it, Bluebeard said angrily. You stuck it there so the hay would absorb the bloodstains. It's clear that you've disobeyed my command and entered the room. Now you'll enter the room whether you want to or not.
Then he ordered her to fetch the key, which was still stained with blood.
Now, prepare yourself for your death. You shall die today, Bluebeard declared.
He fetched the big knife and took her to the threshold of the house. Just let me say my prayers before I die, she said.
All right. Go ahead, but you'd better hurry. I don't have much time to waste.
She ran upstairs and cried out of the window as loud as she could. Brothers, my dear brothers, come help me. The brothers were sitting in the forest and drinking some cool wine.
I love some cool wine. And that sounds like the best fucking day, right? Hanging out in the forest with your brothers, drinking some cool wine. Fuck yeah. Could totally go down for that. Best way to spend your summer.
The youngest said, I think I heard our sister's voice. Let's go. We must hurry and help her.
They jumped on their horses and rode like thunder and lightning. Meanwhile, their sister was on her knees, praying in fear.
Well, are you almost done? Bluebeard called from below, and she heard him sharpening his knife on the bottom step.
Oh, come on, you gotta really rub it in.
She looked out the window, but could only see a cloud of dust as if a herd were coming. So she screamed once again, Brothers, my dear brothers, come help me.
And her fear became greater and greater when Bluebeard called, If you don't come down soon, I'll be up to get you. My knife's been sharpened.
She looked out the window again and saw her three brothers riding across the field as though they were birds flying through the air. For the third time, she screamed desperately and with all her might, Brothers, my dear brothers, come help me. The youngest brother was already so near that she could hear his voice.
Calm yourself. Another moment, dear sister, and we'll be at your side.
But Bluebeard cried out,
That's enough praying. I'm not going to wait any longer. If you don't come, I'm going to fetch you.
Oh, just let me pray for my three dear brothers.
However, he wouldn't listen to her. Instead, he went upstairs and dragged her down. Then he grabbed her by the hair and was about to plunge the knife into her heart when the three brothers knocked at the door, charged inside, and tore their sister out of his hands. They then drew out their sabers and cut him down. Afterward, he was hung up in the bloody chamber next to the women he had killed. Later, the brothers took their dear sister home with them, and all of Bluebeard's treasures belonged to her. The end.
You know what? That one was good as fuck. I like that fucking story. That was a badass story, well written, and good fucking people won at the end. That was actually a good fucking story to end on. Unironically. Well enjoyed. Well fucking played. And on that note, I will end this 420 Fairy Tales, Drunk and Dangerous. I hope you guys enjoyed yourselves as much as I did. I had a freaking blast, and hopefully I will see you back here, hear you back here somehow, in some way, no, psychically. I am not psychic. That you listened, or I guess you could tell me, but yeah, I don't really care. Whatever. I hope words work for me next week. And I hope to hear you back here again. In whatever capacity. And I'll talk to you then. Bye, guys. Mwah.